Well, this is a very sober and serious moment for me personally. I sent out a kind of a what seemed like a very dramatic email to a few friends. And I said, today will be probably the most important leadership meeting of my entire life, of 50 years of preaching the gospel. And they went, wow, that sounds an exaggeration, and it's not. And I've had a few folks, a few leaders, where I gave them a 10-minute snapshot of what I was talking about. Folks that said, this seems exaggerated. And at the 10-minute mark, each one of them differently said, this is the most important meeting of your life. So I'm saying that to kind of tune you in. It really is. I believe it's something historic that we're going to be involved in. That's a once-in-history kind of development. At least as far as I know, and I've asked a lot of folks recently, and they say, well, as far as we know, this is a one time in history that this has ever happened. I feel like this meeting right here is a Malachi 3:16 moment. And I'm going to read Malachi 3:16. I really believe this. It says in verse 16, those who feared the Lord, they spoke to one another. And the Lord listened to them while they spoke. And a book of remembrance was written before the Lord for those that fear the Lord and meditate on his name. And I actually believe that what we're going to talk about, I'm going to present some things and have some of you talk and share, that this would literally be remembered in the day, in the age to come. I really believe that. Because every meeting that's significant is made up of people like us. There are no super saints. Everybody's like us. And we that might be discouraging, but that's how all of history is. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to first tell you the main thing, of which a number of you kind of got the feel of it already. Then I'm going to ask you for a commitment, a pretty significant commitment. Then I'm going to talk about some of the implications of what we're doing. Then take a few moments and how it all developed, and then have comments from you. I don't plan to share real long. I want to be real brief and to the point. Okay, what are we going to do? That's my first point. I'm calling it a 21-day fast in May, May 7 to 28, coming up in 2 months, where during the fast, we're going to pray for 24 hours a day for 21 straight days. By the grace of God, we're going to pray for two things. God's purposes for Israel, Jerusalem, but Israel in the larger sense. Secondly, we're contending for the Lord to raise up 100 million intercessors for Israel. Now, in this 21 days of prayer and fasting, you've already known that. We've mentioned that before. But the new development is that we're calling, and I feel very optimistic about this. We're asking the Lord, but we've got a lot of conversations with people that 100,000 believers around the world would join us in this 24, in this 21 days. Now, not 100% of it, but they'll be participating. So what this room now, the new thing is, this room, we're not just having a prayer meeting for us like we've done a number of times over the years, different times of prayer and fasting, but we're hosting a global 100,000 member, I'm calling it a Isaiah 62 Global Solemn Assembly for 21 days. I want to say that again. An Isaiah 62 Global Solemn Assembly where 100,000 people will be interacting with us at various levels. I mean, many of them will have their own groups and they'll check in here and there. But hosting a prayer room that is serving or even inspiring 100,000 other believers, again, they won't all be connecting to it. But they'll be peeking over their shoulder on numbers saying, are they still doing it? Are they taking this thing seriously? Is this a cool announcement or is this something that weak human beings in the grace of God are actually embracing with all their heart for the whole 21 days? And if they are, these 100,000 that peek over and look here and they're going to say, if they take it serious, I'll take it more seriously. But, it's a big thing that we're talking about. So what we're talking about is contending that the Lord would raise up 100 million intercessors for Israel. That's the second part. The first part is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the God's salvation purposes for Israel. The verse is Isaiah 62. You all know it, but you can follow along in your Bibles or on your phones if you have it. Very well-known verse in our community. I have set watchmen on your walls. This is the Lord speaking. When he says, I've set watchmen, and then the next phrase, he makes it clear it's intercessors. I mean, they're messengers too. They're singers. They're messengers, prophetic messengers, but they're also intercessors. That's the next statement. He says they're never going to be quiet night and day, reminding the Lord of his promises. So we know they're intercessors. It says in verse 6, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. There's a, God promised Isaiah 2,700 years ago, there would be a time in history where he would sovereignly set watchmen on the wall. And the majority's watchmen on the wall, this is a wall of prayer. Ezekiel talks about God looked for intercessors that would stand on the wall, meaning on the wall of intercession. And they would stand in the breach, in the gaps. It says Moses said that. He stood in the breaches of the wall. So it's spiritually speaking. I don't doubt there will be some watchmen on walls there in the literal sense as well. But God promised this 2,700 years ago, and it's only happened just a little sprinkle here and there in history. But as we're approaching the escalation of end time events and the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a massive acceleration of God setting watchmen on the wall, meaning marking the hearts primarily of Gentiles, just because of there's 100 million of them, marking their heart that this is something he's zealous for. Most Gentile believers who love Jesus are not aware that God is zealous for Zion, zealous for Jerusalem. Zechariah 8:1 and many other verses. He's very zealous. But the vast majority of the body of Christ do not grasp that. But the Lord says, I've got this. Watch. I'm going to set them. I'm going to mark them. I'm going to wake up their awareness. And I'm going to grip them with what grips me about Jerusalem. And like most of us in this room, when we first came to this ministry, myself included, I didn't grasp God's zeal for the city of Jerusalem and his salvation purposes for Israel. And most people that have joined us, the probably 22,000 people that have been with us in a full-time way over the last 24 years, the 95% said, well, our church didn't do the Israel thing. That was the conversation we have every single year, many, many times. But by the time they've been here for 6 months or a year, they walk out, they leave and go, wow, or whatever year they leave. I get it more now. We don't understand it all, but we get it a lot more than we used to. I'm going to set watchmen. There's a time in history I will sovereignly put my hand on the minds and hearts of Gentiles, and they will be set sovereignly in place, marked. And they'll never be quiet until God makes Jerusalem a praise in the whole earth. That is obviously connected to the second coming. That's in Old Testament language, that means the coming of the Messiah, when Jerusalem's a praise in the earth. And Isaiah knew that. Big statement. Well, the most important, I've been in Kansas City. Right now, I'm at 40 years. Matter of fact, tomorrow is the 40-year mark when I first met Bob Jones, March 7th. Today's March 6th. And so I've been here 40 years, and I've said this without hesitation. The most powerful 3 weeks of my 40 years in Kansas City, or my whole life, actually, in terms of ministry, was May 1983, those 21 days, May 7 to 28, four or five dramatic supernatural things happen that has formed our history. I mean, our history is based on the Word of God, but these were supernatural confirmations. For instance, the Lord spoke audibly, do 24-hour prayer with singers and musicians. Didn't have a thought in my mind about that. Well, in May 7 to 28, those 21 days in 1983, he said that, but there's four or five others. I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to make a new statement. This May, same dates, May 7th to 28th, and we're picking the dates because of 40 years ago, will be more significant than that time. This May, I say it clearly, will be, I'll be personal, and then you can do with it what you want, the most significant 3 days in my life, in ministry life, up until this time at age 67. These 3 weeks in May 7 to 28. Because at the end of it, May 28, because of Jason Hubbard and Eric Watt, you know they were all here on December 5th just a few months ago, just recently. And there are over 5,000 prayer networks. And these 5,000 prayer networks have committed in 2023 four times that they're going to all pray for the same part of the earth on the same day, just 4 days out of the entire year. The first one was in January 22nd for Asia. The second one, very significant, April 17th, is for the Middle East. The third one, May 28th, for Jerusalem. And there'll be 100 million intercessors praying for Jerusalem, maybe for an hour. And here's the significance. The majority of them will do it, and then on October 31st, they're going to pray for India and the Hindu world. So those 4 days, and the believers are going, we'll do it 4 times, yeah. It's a new experiment. They've never done it before. So the first time in history, 100 million intercessors have gathered. It'll be 4 times in 1 year. I think it's going to grab their idea, and next year or the year after, we'll do it more. Maybe a fifth day. Who knows? But here's what's going to happen. It's going to be 100 million intercessors on May 28th. The vast majority of them are not connected to God's purpose for Israel. They love Jesus. They love the harvest. They love the Great Commission. And they say, we'll do this because we're going to do it for the Middle East as well. They're going to be on that wall of intercession. But we're going to have 21 days before that with 100,000 people crying out, mark them, Lord. Mark them, Lord. Mark them, Lord. And I think, I'm just going to make up a number, 20, 30, 40% of them, uncompletely by surprise, after that day or the weeks and months afterwards, but soon after, they're going to say, I think there's something there. And it's going to be traced back to 100,000 people crying out for it for 21 days. Imagine this acceleration to the 100 million. And that 100 million has been given to us several times over the years. I don't want to go through that. But that's the first shot, 100 million. Again, they're not marked yet. I mean, some of them are clearly marked and all the way in for God's purpose for Israel. But the Lord's going to, in the most glorious way, Holy Spirit ambush them. And he's going to use our 21 days that we're hosting in a prayer room, talking and interacting with other ministries, being an inspiration and a bit of a catalyst to others. Not all of them. Some of them don't need the inspiration or the catalytic moment. But many do. One thing I've heard over the 24 years of IHOP is how many prayer leaders have emailed me or came by and says, you know, we get weary. We want to quit. We turn on the web stream. IHOP is still going. One of our greatest gifts is giving people courage not to quit. I would never have thought of that. I hear that more than anything else. We look and we go, they're still doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. So I know that us hosting this with these 100,000 matters. It matters. And that more will happen. And because the 100,000 and us, and we're doing this for 24 hours a day for 21 straight days, never been done in history before. That 100 million, they are set up for those arrows of the Lord to strike their heart. It's glorious. Then on May 28th, we end this fast after the 100 million, you know, again, we're asking the Lord to mark them. But Lou Engle and a whole company of people ended on the southern steps of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem on May 28th in a glorious global communion, taking communion together on that final day. And it will be our Sunday morning at our here, time-wise, and we're going to all enter into this thing together, and it's going to be a glorious reality, a really remarkable thing. Now, I was thinking about how unique this 21 days is. I've interacted with a number of prominent prayer leaders and prominent, meaning they've done it for years and they're well-known and established. They're not kind of just, I'm just trying it just for this year. Prominent messianic ministries. And I've asked them, how many of you know of one example of anywhere in history where a company of people prayed for Israel for 21 straight days, 24 hours a day, even several thousand of them together? And then it makes it a little more intense with live worship, led by live worship. And of course, they all have said, we don't know of any example. I go, search history. I've asked some historians. They go, no, there's nothing like that. First time in history, ever in human history. And we get to participate in hosting it. And no, hosting a prayer room that inspires and creates worship, live worship teams for others. Others will have their own worship teams, and they'll have their own web stream, and they'll have their own episode. We love that. Actually, we want that. We prefer that. But others won't. And this is new. They've never done this. Well, we've never done 21 straight days praying for Jerusalem. We did it for New Zealand back in 2004 for 12 weeks, and that was a strange thing together in our partnership with YWAM. But I'll get back to this. So I was thinking, why would it be important to tell you that? Because, here's why, because some people would go, wow, aren't we something? No, that's completely not the point. All you got to do is take a good look at the truth of our lives. We're not that impressive. We're just folk, okay? The reason I want to say it, because it's so unique, it tells you something about God's zeal for this. Because it's never happened before. And us, we stumbled into it. It wasn't some great revelation. We've stumbled into it, connecting the dots with about 10 or 15 different people, adding, oh my goodness, we've been apprehended. This is remarkable. And so the dramatic nature of it is commensurate with the commitment I'm going to ask you to make to it, because it's never been done before. This isn't a GBF thing where we pray in a few extra sets for 3 days. I'm talking about something extravagant in our commitment, in our engagement in this. Second thing it is, it makes an extravagant commitment worthwhile because it's never been done in history, and we get to do it in our weakness. The second thing is, it's a sign of the times. Never in history has the Spirit of God touched thousands, and it's going to be millions. I mean, we won't get 100 million marked on May 28th, but we're going to get millions marked. We'll never know the number till the age to come. But never has there been a period in history where God marked millions for Israel in a short period of time. It's coming right around the corner. That is remarkable. It's going to show, Zechariah 8:1, the Lord says, I am zealous for Jerusalem. And we see that and go, huh. And the Lord says, I want my people zealous for Jerusalem. Okay, what is the, I'm shifting gears now. What is the commitment? I'm having fun with this because I was practicing this little presentation to three or four people for 10 minutes, you know, just to see, you know, because I don't know how to say all this stuff. So I got Isaac, and I said, Isaac, and we're talking, and I said, but I'm going to ask for an extravagant commitment. You know, he's our lead pastor of our local community here. I'm saying to those online there. And I said, back in 1983, May 7th to 28th, that solemn assembly for 21 days, 40 years ago, I said a company of us did it 18 hours a day. We just took two naps every day right there in the prayer room. We didn't leave the prayer room. We had this idea, the upper room, they were stuck in there for 10 days. Well, this is the end of the age, so double anointing. We'll do it 20 days. And we stayed there the whole time, 18 hours a day. If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't do it that way. I would have toned it down a little differently, but we did it. So Isaac's eyes got real big. And I said, I'm committing personally by the grace of God to be in this for 12 hours a day. And I'll be in the boardroom, on the side rooms, talking to leaders. We're going to have updates and prophetic sharings and sometimes in the studio, in the prayer room studio, talking to others around out there. But I'll be here, mostly in the prayer room, but a little in and out. And he was going, okay. I said, I'm asking for 120 leaders. They don't have to be official leaders. They would do 6 to 12 hours a day. He goes, oh, man, you had me scared there. But he was leaning into it. I mean, he was picturing, oh, my five kids, we're all taking a nap. I'm in all the way. I don't know how I'll do this. I mean, I could see his eyes say, yes, yes. And Morgan's with me. I know her. I don't know how that's going to work. They go, no. He goes, oh, we can do that. Phew, you had me scared. I'm asking 120 people, and I want them to let me know. And I believe he says, there will be 500 that will do that. This is, the uniqueness of this, I believe, is commensurate with this kind of extravagance. So I'm asking you, even in a little while today, to respond to me. And I don't know exactly how we're going to do that, but that's important to me that I'm believing for 120, I think Isaac's probably right. We might get 500. This is a once in history, first time thing that's ever happened. I'm asking for us to shut down most of everything we're doing. Business office, please don't shut down. Maintenance team, keep the pipes flowing. I'm talking about all the other stuff. Okay, internet team, please don't shut down. But I mean really draw back, like not have, cancel a number of classes. I don't mean all. I don't know. I don't want to get intense on that. Some of it's not practical, some of it. But it's the spirit of closing things down. Back in May 83, we shut everything down. Of course, the church was only 6 months old, so we hadn't opened anything up yet, so it was pretty easy. But we were all in. There was not one meeting besides those 18 hours going on. We didn't have leadership meetings, nothing, but none of us knew each other very well back then either. So, but because I do want the prophetic updates and interactions, prophetic dreams, because we're going to have 7 gatherings in that 21 days where we're going to share prophetic updates and dreams and what's happening, different what's happening around the world. 3 of those Friday nights and 4 of those Sunday mornings fit within that May 7 to 28. So those 7 gatherings, 3 Friday nights, 4 Sunday mornings, is going to be our, you know, our family, you know, fireside, not chat, talk times. We're going to talk. What's happening? Let's process this. Let's put everything else business as usual, which I do appreciate. I don't put that down. We're going to put that on hold. Anything we can stop doing, I want to stop doing for that 21 days. It's, to me, it's that dramatic, and it's that worth it. And so, could you, would you do this for 6 to 12 hours? 12 is better than 6, but, you know, a lot of folks got families and things that other people don't have at the same intensity. So let's not put the foot on the gas pedal. That's already really aggressive. And then I'm going to put the caveat, if you can do that 6 to 12 hours, 80 or 90% of the time, because there's that one day you can't do it, and you're not a covenant breaker. You just can't do it. So you're saying, okay, 80%, I'll try 90, but 80, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'll aim for 12, I might do 6, I don't know, but because I know the heart of this people. Then I'm going to ask something really radical on top of that. I'm working with this 120, because that's the number of the upper room. I'm asking for 120 of our community for 21 days or less, a little less if they need to shift to the night watch for 21 days, to go on a mission trip. Instead of going to Europe, which is 6 hours ahead, just go to the night watch, which is 6 hours ahead. And just get through, jet lag for 3 days. So you might start a couple of days, but I'm asking 120 people, not just our staff, that our department heads would release them to go to the night watch for 21 days or 20 or 15 or whatever. It doesn't have to be 21, but to do this, because our night watch is a critical part of this reality, and they have been faithfully holding the line for so many years. Now, I believe there's some of you that would do that, and I'm asking our larger community as well. There's some folks I'm going to say, take 2 weeks off work if you can. Do that. This is worth it. This is once in a lifetime in human history kind of stuff. And if 100 million people, even a number accelerating, gets touched, this will shift the trajectory of the human race. I mean, it will shift the trajectory of the human race. 100 million people praying for Israel. There will be so many dominoes go down, quote unquote, in the spirit. So many events will take place with that kind of reality. The planet will be different. Well, I want to get commitments before I call, because we're announcing this tomorrow in terms of our webpage and that thing. And we're going to make a bunch of videos in the next 6 weeks, but we're launching out tomorrow and we're saying it. But I don't want to do it until I have confidence that we're going to have a commensurate commitment that's extravagant that hosts 100,000 people, that we're going to actually do it. And I've done a few of these long fasts together, and we start off strong, and about day 10 or 12, you know, about day 14, it's like, I feel the Spirit releasing me. You know, it just goes on and on. And I get that, and there's going to be some of that. And that's not like bah humbug. It really isn't. It's human life. Some will make commitments bigger than the reality of their life will be able to, that they won't be able to sustain. Not because they don't care, because life was different than they thought in that next couple of weeks. I totally get that. Totally get that. But I want us to think this through and go, already a bunch of you have a yes in your spirit. You might not have the details, but you go, I'm glad you made it 6 to 12 hours because I can maneuver that in 80%. I can maybe make that work if we shut a bunch of things down. And I'm mentioning that I'm doing a 12 hours. I don't have 3 to 5 kids in my house. I'm not cooking meals for a family. I'm not shopping. I'm not doing anything besides going home, resting, and coming here. So I'm not asking everyone to do that because your life responsibilities outside of this building are far more intense than mine. So I do understand that. So I'm not saying I'm committed, and if you don't do what I do, you're not. Because my life is free when I step out of, I leave here, I go there. My hassles and are mostly related when I'm stepping in this building, and so they're here. Okay, why? What's that? Yeah, no, I mean, it's awesome. We had those days. I get them. We did have them. Anyway, back to the message. Why a fixation, we're asked. Again, these 22,000 people that have joined us over the last 24 years, most of them 2-3 years here, the 5 years, whatever, most of you know that. They would, the Israel's always the first stumbling block. Our church didn't do Israel. Why are we fixated on Jerusalem? What about just the nations? Well, God's touching Jerusalem in the Bible, in the lips of Jesus and the apostles, is deeply committed to the Great Commission. Now, that's something most Gentile believers are not aware of, that they don't have those Bible verses in their spiritual diet, but they're there. They're in the book. I'm going to read Acts chapter 3, right after the day of Pentecost. Peter's in Jerusalem, talking to the Jewish unbelievers in Jerusalem. He says, verse 19, repent and be converted, so that times of refresh, I'm just abbreviating it, will come from the presence of the Lord. But here's the big one, verse 20. You repent and believe Jesus, and heaven is keeping Jesus there till Jerusalem repents and cries out for Jesus' leadership. Now, most evangelical Gentile believers who love the Great Commission are not aware that the preaching of the gospel to all nations, we know that Matthew 24, they're not aware there's something about the Gentile provoking believers, unbelievers in Jerusalem to see Yeshua. They're not connecting that that is related to the coming of the Lord. Peter said, until you repent in Jerusalem, he's not coming back, because he's only coming back when the leaders of Jerusalem say, Jesus, we want you back. And right now they're not saying it. And God's going to move by his spirit on many of them, but he's going to use the Gentiles in the earth as his tool to provoke Israel to jealousy. The Gentiles have got to be on board. They have to be on board. And right now, most of them love Jesus, love the Great Commission, but they're not on board for that. We all know Matthew chapter 23. When, in verse 37, Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather you. You were unwilling. We know that passage. Verse 38, Matthew 23. You've been left, your house has been left to you desolate. For 2,000 years, the house has been desolate. He's talking about the temple, actually. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not coming back, he's talking to the Sanhedrin and to the Pharisees, until you say with your mouth, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Psalm 118. One of the most well-known messianic psalms. Till you say with your mouth, I, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah. I am not coming back. That's what Jesus told them, on Tuesday before he died on Friday. And Peter in Acts 3 said the same thing. He's not coming back till Jerusalem calls him back. Paul builds out this thought a bit more. He says in Romans chapter 11, you know it. He goes, the failure of the Jews, the leadership of the gospel went to Gentiles. There was an increased anointing on Gentile leadership because of the failure of the Jews to respond. So therefore, the gospel went to the nations. Paul goes, okay, their failure is riches for you Gentile nations. That's why you have revivals all through history around the last 2,000 years. He goes in verse 15, if them being cast away brought the gospel to the nations, here it is, what will the acceptance of Jerusalem be to Jesus? Life from the dead to the whole earth. The whole millennial kingdom and the return of the Lord. Jerusalem saying yes is a gigantic issue in God's leadership. And there's 10 reasons for that, or whatever the number is. I don't want to go into that right now. We're going to cover some of this in those Friday nights and those Sunday mornings, some of this to break it down to get people, and smaller bite-sized pieces. But it's Gentiles in the earth. It says in Romans 11:11, Israel, he goes, Gentiles to Rome. He goes, God's going to use you to get them to want Jesus. He's going to move by a spirit on them too, without the Gentiles, but he's going to use the Gentiles. But the Gentiles have got to understand it's all connected together. I love Psalm 102. You all know this. We pray it many times. I'm just going to go a few more moments, and then we're going to open it up for discussion of other people. Psalm 102, oh, fantastic. Verse 13. It's prayed many times in our Israel prayer meetings. Verse 13. Lord, you will arise and have mercy on Jerusalem. You will do that. Here it is. For the set time has come. Yes, a time of favor. There is a set time in God's calendar for God to have mercy on Jerusalem. That means they turn to Jesus. That's what that means. Doesn't mean just that the war stops or the people attacking them go away. They see their Redeemer and their Savior. God's had mercy on them. He said there's a set time. Beloved, I believe we are stepping into this May into an acceleration of a set time. And I believe it's going to keep accelerating. And I have no doubt there's 20 other, 50 other key things in the earth that the Lord is pushing buttons on, and there's set time, and together the whole thing comes together. Everyone's not doing this. Many different facets to this great symphony. But I want to say the set time to favor her has come. He says this, and when that happens, verse 15, the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will bow before the glory of God when the set time comes. Beloved, we're in an, I believe May will be an acceleration of the set time. Listen to this. The Lord's going to appear in his glory in Jerusalem. Why is he going to appear in his glory for his Jerusalem? Well, number one, his zeal. But number two, there's going to be 100 million Gentiles crying out, appear in your glory. And the Lord says, I was waiting to hear the sound of the cry of my people. Because I don't want to do it without you. I can, but I don't want to. We're doing it together because I want one new man to be the fruit of this in maturity. That's where this is going, and most of you know that. But here's the verse 18. This promise is written for a generation yet to come, to a people yet created. So Psalm 102 was written back then. He said there's a set time. It's for a generation. There's not even a born yet. I don't know when it is. There's a set time in human history that leads to mercy than all the kings of the earth. And there's about 10 more times, ways it says it. It's Psalm 102, 13 to 22 is awesome. Beloved, there's only one set time in history like this that leads to Jerusalem getting saved and the kings of the earth. And I believe we're at the beginning. Or maybe the set time began before, I don't know, but we're in an acceleration of the set time. I'm going to give the sequence of events. I hope to do this like in just 2 minutes. You see, just because I want this for our family record. Some of our friends out there, they won't really care about this sequence. But us, I want our children 10 and 20 years from now to know this record. That's why we're filming this. So for their sake, I want them to see it and go, I wish I'd have had all this filmed and captured, 40 years ago. The sequence. It was Sunday, January 15th, Stuart was stirred up, and he got Isaac, and he got Daniel Lim, and Dave Slyker, got them all together, says, I'm on vacation. And they go, we got to do something with our 40-year anniversary coming up to May 7, 28. It's incredibly important. And he was like, really intense. The next day, Monday, was our ELT, our executive leadership team meeting. Dave Slacker came in. I'm on a Zoom call in Florida to the ELT meeting. And Dave Slacker goes, we got to fast May 7 to 28 like we did 40 years ago. And I remember, because I'm kind of the California breeze is kind of, I don't want to fast, I don't know what happened, but I went, I remember the feeling. I go, really? But I come back. And then my first ELT meeting, February 13th, a couple weeks later. Now, I've been thinking on Isaiah 62 all through January, because Eric Watt and Jason Hubbard came on December 5th and said, Isaiah 62. I was so moved by that. I spent many hours in Isaiah 62 in January. So I came back and I said, well, Dave, Stuart, you're right. We got to do something serious. And Dave, you're right. We got to fast. I want to do Isaiah 62, night and day he will set intercessors on the wall. What if we did every single prayer meeting, even the worship of the word, at least one cycle for Jerusalem? Instantly, 15 people in the room, whatever, 3 seconds, instant unity. Wow, okay. So we've been kind of saying that here and there for a month or two, but the new idea came last Friday. Today's Monday, just Friday. We're just sitting in a meeting. It's going to be a one-hour meeting that goes for 4 hours. It's going to be a one-hour meeting, and Dean Bai, Dean Wave, he's right there. He said, what if we called the nations to join our fast? I go, well, because I'm thinking of us. You know, I'm thinking 40 years ago it was just us. I'm going, well, what do you mean? He goes, why don't we call thousands in the earth? I go, oh, my God, I never thought about that. And now we got John O was just visiting for some reason. He was in the room. He goes, I can get the media. And the, you know, I was just in Asbury, and we had all these big TV stations covering it. I know the names, the people, how to do lots of this. Of course, he did it here for 15 years. But he goes, I've got a lot more connections. We could really do something globally. I go, oh, man, really? Well, the meeting went for 4 hours instead of 1 hour. It grew. But I said, well, that's cool. But if we don't have the major prayer leaders, major meaning, influential, that people are listening to them, that's what I mean by major. I mean, anybody's more important than anybody else. But if we don't have a couple prayer leaders that have a history and authority on an international level joining it, it's really just our prayer meeting. And I don't want to do that and call the nations to have our prayer meeting. I don't want to do an IHOP thing. No. No, it's either going to be catalytic collaboration with a catalytic spirit with many other leaders involved. Let's just us do it. So I said, you know, I'm praying maybe 100,000 we could do that. You know, because 40 years ago we had 1,000 in May 83, so 100,000. I mean, those numbers are not hard to do. So I said, I made a fleece with the Lord. I go, let's have a Zoom call tomorrow and get a bunch of leaders on it and see what they say. But there was two leaders I was particular about, and I asked Stuart, see if you could get them on. Because, you know, some people can't make a Zoom call with a one-day notice. You know, people are busy. I said, if Lou Engle gets on that Zoom call and says da-da-da-da, and if Jason Hubbard, who's working with Eric Watt, the 5,000 prayer networks, and those two, and myself and 10 others of us, we know scores of other guys too and gals that are leaders. So I come to the 2 o'clock Zoom meeting on Saturday, and Lou was there. I go, oh, okay. And Jason, and we gave some of this, and Lou said, I am totally on board. He goes, well, I'm in a fast right now, but I'll do another one. I don't care. I went, oh, my. He goes, I'll do another one. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. He goes, through the hinge of history. It's amazing. No, I mean, I was very touched by him. And he says, I'm going to be on the steps of the southern steps of the Mount of the Temple Mount on May 28th because of the 100 million intercessors with the 110 city thing that we're doing. And we're doing the 110 city thing, by the way, on April 17th with the Night of Power with Muslim. That we're still going full blast on that. But anyway, that's for another moment. We'll talk about that. And so I don't mean today. We'll talk about it in the days to come in our meetings. But Lou said, I'm all board. I'm going to lead communion. Oh, my goodness. And John goes, I think we can do things with the media on a major way. He goes, I can't promise yet, but let me make phone calls. And he made a lot of them. And so then Jason Hubbard said, I can assure you that our networks, the ones that, because, you know, him and Eric, 5,000 prayer networks and 100 million intercessors under them. One guy in Indonesia leads 12 million. One guy in Africa leads 10 million. And they're all part of their team. He goes, I assure you. These guys, the guys I know will love this. We've never done anything like this. They're all in for this. And so I said, those are the two names. And we had some others there too who commented, but those are my two kind of little, I don't want to say fleeces, but kind of fleeces. I said, if those guys come in and they go, well, let me pray about it and get back to you in a week or two. Okay, that's fine. It's not my deal. They were instantly enthusiastic. So then I said, well, now I got to get the IHOP leadership on board because we're not going to host 100,000 people with a half-committed team. I'd rather not talk to the 100,000. Let's do what we do. So I said, okay, Stuart, let's get a Monday meeting, cast the vision a little bit, and then we can say it more other times. But if I get a response that I feel confident that we're going to get from this team and some of those that are on the web stream, then I have the courage to cast this vision tomorrow. We've already got the web page built and all ready to go and just push the button tomorrow. But I said, no, I got to know, because it's not, will you do this like a GBF, you know, 4 hours a day or something like that? No, I'm talking about something far more intense, far more historic. And if this team will do it, then I will have the courage to say to 100,000, we have a prayer room that could be an encouragement to some of you. Again, not that they'll be plugging into it all the time, but they'll peek at it. Some a lot, but some will peek to see if it's for real. And they'll look at us and they go, they're taking this seriously. This is day 15. They're still doing it. Look at them. I mean, they're really there. And day 18, you know what? We're going to take it seriously because they're taking it serious because it's their word. And so it's critical. So I said, I need that to have that come. Now, it ends up, I mean, we got everything ready. I just wanted this meeting because I want to send tomorrow. Tomorrow is March 7th. Okay, today's March 6th, right? Tomorrow's March 7th. What's March 7th? Well, it's 40 years to the day I met Bob Jones. He walked in and told me that we were going to be on the Truman property, 24 hours of singers and musicians, touching Israel. And I said, I don't pray for Israel ever. I thought the church was Israel, you know. I don't even know what you're talking about. And he goes, oh, you'll get it. You'll get it. And that was 40 years ago tomorrow. But tomorrow's also Purim, the Feast of Purim tomorrow, March 7th. Typically, Purim, most of you are aware of Purim. It's the celebration feast that they're celebrating what happened in the days of Esther when the Jewish race were about to be exterminated in Persia. And Esther went before the king and got everyone fasting, and their lives were spared. And so for, you know, a couple thousand years, they've had a celebration called Purim. For one day, they have celebration and costumes and singing and dancing and all kinds of things. And Purim always goes with the Jewish calendar, so it's always in February or March. It's rarely on March 7th, but this year it's March 7th. It's tomorrow. And the reason I care about that, because I think probably the biggest takeaway word from this, yes, a Isaiah 62 Global Solemn Assembly, yes, where they cry night and day for the Lord. That's Isaiah 62. But there's another point. The key point is that I believe that these 3 weeks will be a global Esther moment in the earth. It will be an Esther moment where 100,000 people are praying for 100 million, 100 million, a bunch of them get touched, not all of them, and it's for the deliverance of Israel. It's for their spiritual deliverance, that their eyes open to Yeshua, but it's also that deliverance keeps on going because it's the end time church that's going to stand with Israel, the most difficult, troubled time in history. We're in it together to the end. History ends with a global Esther moment hour for the Gentile believers with Israel. And so, but tomorrow's the celebration of the deliverance of Israel from the hostile enemies to destroy them. So I'm going to read two verses from, and you know them so well. Mordecai comes to Esther. And by the way, at Purim, they always read the book of Esther. So tomorrow's Tuesday. We're at the GBF. I wouldn't challenge you. I mean, it'd be fun. Read the book of Esther. I mean, they read it the whole day. And it is quite a story. They read it every year on Purim. Here's what Mordecai says. If you remain silent, if you're unresponsive at this time, deliverance will come from the Jews, will arise for the Jews, but from another place, not from you. But who knows, young Esther, that God has raised you up for such a time as this, that you would respond in such an hour, such a time, a set time. So Esther says, verse 15, we're in chapter 4. She said to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews, because she's in the king's palace. I can't get out there in the community. Gather them and fast for me, and I will fast. She goes, and I'm going to go before the king. Beloved, we're going to go before the king for 21 days. And we're going to cry out to the Lord with 100,000 other people asking to touch the 100 million and asking for favor on not just the 100 million, but favor on Jerusalem as well, not just wait for the 100 million. She says, if I perish, I perish. If the king, because it was illegal to walk into the king's chamber without being summoned. Yeah, I mean, it's death penalty. She goes, if I die, I die. And when I think of this, I remember the 21-day fast 40 years ago. You know, 18 hours a day, whatever. But a whole company went 12 hours a day, and we were wrung out. It's costly. It really is. You lose. There's economic issues you lose. There's social things you lose. There's a bunch of things you lose. I mean, there's loss. And so in a very introductory way, I'm saying, Lord, if we lose out on some stuff for 21 days, so what? It's a baby. If I perish, I perish. But at the end of the day, that 100 million intercessors that will grow over the next decade or so, that group will stand for Israel and the true, full, final Esther moments coming down the road. But we're playing a role in it right now. But May will be an Esther time for us in a small way. It will cost us, literally cost us. And I'm saying, if we lose, we lose. So what? And the Lord says, yeah, but the magnet from heaven and the light of heaven will be shining. So you might be surprised. If four or five dramatic supernatural things happened 40 years ago, I got a feeling there's a trajectory happening in those 21 days. It may not happen all in those days, but because of those days, in our midst even, that we'll look back, and the 10-year-olds, in a minute, they'll be 20, and they'll look back and say to you guys, Mom, Dad, Grandpa, Grandma, thank you for doing that, because they'll be leaders in young adult movements. And they'll go, thank you, we're walking in it right now. Thank you for doing that. Then it says in Esther chapter 2, Esther was taken to the king's palace when she was selected. And she obtained favor, verse 9. And so beauty preparations were given to her. A number of you, this is chapter 2, before she makes the big stand in chapter 4. A number of you for 10 years, 20 years, 25 years, you've been in beauty preparations for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Now it's time for us to go before the king. And if we lose out in the natural, some energy, some thises, some thats, which we will. So what? The Lord says deliverance will come to Israel, but I'm letting you have a part of it. And so at the very end on the May 28th, again, we're talking, Jono and a bunch of guys are working on it, you know, all kinds of simulcasts, how different TV stations, and we can celebrate. But I want to do that. I don't want to do that to say, hey, guess what we did? I want to be catalytic on the messaging about Jesus and Jerusalem. This will be catalytic in the global conversation. Lots of folks will go, why are you doing that? That's weird. That's not biblical. That's off. Then other people will stand up and say, it is biblical. Lots of conversations. Others will say, we want to go for God. We're provoked to jealousy. We want to do what you do. Matter of fact, we want to do it more than you do it. Our children will say that in 5 and 10 and 15 years. You think that old guy back in 83 and 2023, that's speaking to me, you think he did stuff? You wait until you see what we do. No, I mean it. Those 10-year-olds will be 20, 25. They'll look at us and be grateful, but they're going to go beyond us. This is such a time as this. Amen and amen.